by the mercy of God. As we ponder these texts from Genesis, as we go on, we've been looking at Genesis. Yesterday the storm stopped us from, at least a lot, from hearing about the conclusion of the flood. Today, we have these last words of God to Noah. And as in all of this part of the scriptures, these are foundational realities that are being discussed, taught to us. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." So he repeats to Noah the injunction that he gave to Adam. And so, to begin again. But now, their things are different. Because, you see, the sin of man has left its mark. And God has, in mercy, done what he did. So that we would all begin to know the terrible effects of sin. But now, dread fear of you shall come upon all the animals of the earth. That was not said to Adam. To rule the world was said, but not this. And all the birds of the air, and upon all the creatures that move about on the ground, and all the fishes of the sea, into your power they are delivered. This is stronger terminology. It implies this tension, huh? Every creature that is alive shall be yours to eat. God did not say that to Adam. He said, eat all the trees of the trees that have seed in them, and I give the grass to the animals. Now, eat the animals. There's something here, you see, there's a tension now between man and the rest of creation that wasn't there before. But then he goes on to say, but flesh with its lifeblood still in it, you shall not eat. Why? Because the blood is life. And you don't consume another's life. Their flesh you can eat, but you can't take their life and make it your food. And this will all come back again in Leviticus. This sort of anthropology. There's an intuitive thing going on here. As you can see. Huh? Only flesh with its lifeblood still in it you shall not eat. For your own lifeblood too I will demand an accounting. From every animal I will demand it. If any animal kills a man, I will punish that animal. And from one man in regard to his fellow man, I will demand an accounting for human life. Think of the millions that have been killed by abortion. Think of the millions that were starved to death in Ukraine. Think of the millions elsewhere that have been killed. From one man in regard to his fellow man, I will demand an accounting for human life. If anyone sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has man been made. He's born, exists to be in relationship to me and to all his fellow men. And that's what he's made for, not to be killed by you. Do you see how basic this teaching is? You see how, you know, why it's the first book in the Bible? This is so profound. So that now there's conflict, and now there's, but the hand of God is still there, and now it continues, huh? God said to Noah and to his sons, something brand new now, with all that suffering and all that violence and all that retribution, there's something new. I am establishing my covenant with you. This is brand new. This is mercy. This is God swearing by himself never to destroy the world again by water. Berit, covenant. You heard the word B'nai B'nai, the group, the sons of the covenant. You know. Berit. The basic notion of berit is accepting an obligation in regard to someone else. And this is the very first covenant in the Bible. And God swears, I'll never do that again. The next covenant will be with Abraham, and it's the same. God swears by himself, I will give you this land. You will be my people forever. And it's still true. As John Paul II said, you know, the covenant with Israel has never been revoked. It's been transposed, but it's never been revoked. I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you. I will establish my covenant with you that never again shall all bodily creatures, that's all flesh obviously, be destroyed by the waters of a flood. And I'll give you a sign, because every covenant has a sign, huh? The next covenant, the sign is circumcision, etc. There's a sign. This covenant, this is the sign that I will give. I will put my bow in the clouds to serve as a sign. The other day we were in the plane and we were, you know, flying, and below us you could see a full rainbow, complete circle, and the plane's shadow was right in the middle of it. It was quite a consoling, you know, I have you in my hands. We were, you know, 5-6 miles up in the air, and here was this complete bow. We only get to see half of it most of the time, right? Complete circle, and the shadow of the plane right in the middle of it. That's the berit. I will never again do that. I love you. I care for you. And by my own initiative, I swear by myself, I will not do this. Think of who God is. Do you understand? Who else talks like that except the people of the Bible? The Quran does not. You know, where do you get anybody who knows God like that? Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, atheists. What a gift already to be taught. And we read this, you see, seeing the sign of salvation. God, I'll give you a sign. I promise, and I'll give you a sign to help you remember that I promised. And God has bound himself. That's mercy. This is God. Now we read these things in our pseudo-sophistication in the 21st century. This is cute little fairy tales. No, this is the word of God. Then we beg God to show us, what does it mean? So we've made a mess of things. Now we eat animals. Jesus ate them too. And all that, but never touch a man. Never touch a human being. You see what we've done to that. And then, with the weight of sin pressing down on us, God's going to come back and do it again. I promise you, I never will. See how basic these things are? Before we get all caught up in our metaphysics, just some basic primal images to fix in the depth of our psyche. This is who God is. We're going to continue looking.